NPR.
This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. It is summer. This is when people travel. Or it's when they used to travel. Road trips, days at the beach, picnics, carnivals, and of course, music festivals. Music festivals are a big one. Over the last 10 years, music festivals and concerts have exploded into a $12 billion business. It just got huge.
The biggest festivals can make in the tens of millions. Glastonbury, Coachella, EDC in Vegas, all doing over 100,000 people a day.
This is Jeremy Stein. He's the president of Madison House Presents. He's put together music festivals and tours for The Grateful Dead, Mumford & Sons, Bob Dylan. Jeremy says these festivals not only generate money for the musicians and their crews, they also have a massive economic impact.
Concerts and festivals in general act almost like the auto industry, where there's, you know, the big automaker, but there's a ton of businesses linked to them that feed into it. You know, whether they're staging and production, site operations, all the way down to the porta potty vendors, craft vendors, food vendors.
I mean, it's almost like a little mini economy.
It is. I mean, honestly, I consider them to be their own municipalities for a weekend.
Businesses like Uncle John's Outfitters.
I built this business entirely sale by sale. I never took out small business loans or anything.
Kim Warner is the owner of Uncle John's Outfitters. It sells clothing and pins and patches, mostly Grateful Dead and fish themes. Her husband designs most of it. Tie-dye robes, dancing bear socks, Jerry Garcia shirts, magic mushroom blankets, flying eyeball patches. Uncle John's Outfitters has got you covered. These are all big sellers at music festivals. And that is where Kim Warner's business started.
Started with one t-shirt, one night in one parking lot. And the shirt was for the song Kill Devil Falls. Made like a cool beer logo design. Made it look like a beer shirt. Took it, sold everyone the first night. And we thought, huh, might be onto something here.
Kim got really serious about the festival circuit. She's a huge Grateful Dead and Fish fan. She says, it was like a dream. She loved the shows. She loved the work. She was on the road for months at a time and just super excited every day.
It sounds so corny, and I'm sorry to sound like such a hippie, but it really is the vibe. Hate to say it, but I get to be around 20,000 people having the time of their life. Everybody is having the best day ever when they're seeing their favorite band. It's like this never-ending, ever-expanding family.
An ever-expanding family that buys a lot of shirts.
And how many shirts do you sell in a normal year now?
My God, tens of thousands. I mean, and it's not just t-shirts. I make, you know, all sorts of other stuff, patches, pins. It's really, really blossomed just from one t-shirt.
2020 was setting up to be Kim's biggest year ever. Business was booming. Her profits were soaring. She got into some super big festivals, can be really competitive for merchants, and it was all looking pretty stellar. And then coronavirus hit. Kim heard about festivals getting canceled in Europe and Asia, started to get nervous. And then in March, South by Southwest in Texas was canceled. Kim had paid for a double booth.
And it was just like dominoes after that. One event after another, after another, after another canceled. I won't lie, I probably cried for a week, just feeling so frustrated that, you know, you can work so hard as a person building your business up for 11 years and almost overnight your ability to earn just vanishes.
Suddenly, Kim's thriving business was just gone. She had always sold some stuff online, but it was only about 10% of her business. 90% was at festivals, in person.
Support for this NPR podcast and the following message come from Barracuda. Most cyber attacks start with an email. Protect your business and remote teams with Barracuda Total Email Protection. Get a secure, free email threat scan at barracuda.com/NPR.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Okta, a leader in identity-driven security. As the world shifts to a more remote work approach, Okta empowers your remote employees to keep their data, apps, and identity secure from anywhere at okta.com/NPR.
With music festivals canceled for at least the next few months, thousands of people like Kim Warner are just out of luck. So are the hotels and restaurants and gas stations and everybody else who relies on the tens of thousands of people coming to town to hear music. And the concert industry and the people who rely on it are just in a particularly tough spot, says festival organizer Jeremy Stein. He says, unlike other businesses that are starting to come back online as cities reopen and enter phase one or two or three, festivals and concerts, they know they're in for a long wait.
We are devastated. We are a phase four, or if there was a phase five, we'd be a phase five business. We are, the music industry is truly based on large gatherings of people. That's what we do.
I mean, are you worried that your business might not survive?
Well, no, I think it's going to be different. But what gets me is that the only common language throughout human history is music. And I think it's in our DNA to need it, want it, and to gather around it. But in the meantime, it's real. Venues are shutting down. Some are going to close forever. Some festivals will not survive.
And some of the businesses that rely on those festivals will also not survive. Kim Warner says she's not sure what will happen to Uncle John's Outfitters. She says some of the other merchants she's worked with are all panicked. Some of them are closing up shop, leaving the business entirely. For her part, Kim has been trying to figure out how to beef up her online sales, figure out how to market on Facebook and Twitter and YouTube.
I'm having to learn about marketing and Google AdWords. I didn't know what a pixel meant, you know. I don't know how to do these things online, but I think we'll have some success here with the online component and just keep praying that things will change and we can get back to the live shows and mass gatherings again.
Do you worry that the business won't survive this?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if it's an end, if we're truly looking at these bleak scenarios I've seen in the news where it's one maybe 2 years before mass gatherings will ever appear, boy, would it be a challenge to, I would honestly look into liquidation and just try to wholesale or liquidate my stock and maybe just start over. I've thought about learning how to code and become a programmer or rebooting my life to Kim 3.0. I've rebooted once before. I'm not scared. I'll do it again.
How does it feel to think about that?
Depressing. I love selling things to music fans at shows. It is so common to have a giant hug from somebody I just met just because he's so excited that he's having a great time and just bought this cool shirt that reminds him of his favorite band. Every interaction for me is super personal. And to lose that is just unthinkable to me.
Kim says online sales have been doing pretty well. She says masks and scarves have become a big seller. Apparently, the dancing bear masks have been a hit. Still, though, it's just a fraction of what her festival sales used to be. And as far as getting her music fix, Kim says the band Fish is streaming old concerts on their website every Tuesday. And she and her friends meet up online and talk about the show. Kind of like being there, but not really. So Kim says she's just been listening to a lot of her old Grateful Dead LPs.
My favorite song, Cumberland Blues. The song, I just love it. It's about working down in the mines. You make good money, $5 a day. It's one of the lines. And I think it just resonates with me because I'm a merchant and, you know, I'm out there trying to just make my $5 a day, you know, adjusted for inflation, of course.
This episode of The Indicator was produced by Camille Peterson, fact-checked by Brittany Cronin. The Indicator is edited by Patty Hirsch and is a production of NPR.
These days, Chelsea Handler tries to keep her and her friend's white privilege in check.
She starts like really getting weepy, and I was like, "Well, what are you doing right now? You just said you read White Fragility. You cannot talk about reading White Fragility and start to cry."
Comedian Chelsea Handler on white privilege and a new book. Listen to It's Been a Minute from NPR.